Going on, everybody. So, a bit of a different approach with this episode. We're going into... definitely going to be going back into helping yourself become a more balanced thinker. I guess you could say, not even necessarily a more critical thinker, but a more balanced thinker. That has been the latest two episodes that I just did. But this one is going to be going into mindfulness. Actually, this is something that I really learned. It's kind of interesting to consider this because there's definitely a lot that I can go into when it comes to this, actually, because there is a kind of a hidden level of this when it comes to all this. So I wanted to go into a little bit of this, but I wanted to start by helping you understand what mindfulness is, how to actually become mindful, not just as a, like a 15 or 30 minute meditation segment, but just as like in daily life as an integritous progress or process, integrative process. You're integrating mindfulness into your daily life. So, to me, what I really become aware of is that the way that the mind works is through mind wandering, right? Your mind is going to wander. Your mind is going to go down areas and paths that you're... If you're focused on just like a single object on in meditation, which is what most meditation teachers tell you to do, You're probably going to fail. You're probably going to get frustrated with this process. But what I find makes this a lot simpler and easier is, and it helps you to actually become a lot more open when it comes to your awareness and your emotions and stuff like this as well, which is basically, instead of focusing only on one thing, what you can do is you can focus, you can notice things as they happen, as your mind senses them, right? So for instance, you could start by noticing your breath. We could do that right now, right? Just noticing it. We don't even have to control it, just noticing it, right? But then something else might happen, like your ear might itch or something might happen, and your mind notices that. And so you, following where your mind is going, notice that with awareness and just pay attention to that for a few seconds, and then go to another thing. Just keep doing this until whatever your meditation session is over, right? This makes it a lot easier to actually become aware, because this is what's happening in daily life anyways, to kind of do the other thing where you're like focusing on your breath and only your breath, or focusing on a word and only a word. It can be useful, but it's what I find is it not mirroring daily life when it comes to awareness. And so your practice is only going to get you to a certain level. And it's really interesting to consider that. But and so this is kind of like the new, this new way of doing this, I guess. It's not really new, but it's something that I've really become aware of doing. It does make the process a lot simpler, because you don't have to focus on one thing. You can focus on multiple things. And there's other layers to this as well, which are deeper, where one thing as well that I've noticed is that if you're noticing that you're engaged in a lot of inner thoughts and inner work and things like this, the outer might be something to become aware of, right? Like sounds or sounds or whatever, right? Things like this, or sights, to kind of keep you a little bit more broad-minded, broad awareness, right? Broad awareness, I guess. I don't know, this is not really a word, but something like that. Anyways, so that's kind of the idea, right? And so basically, you could think of it as like a 9-second process. You notice something, But it doesn't have to be for 9 seconds. It's just like for a few seconds or whatever. For just as long as feels normal and natural to do. And so the other thing that I really become aware of is really interesting to kind of consider this. But yeah, a lot of spiritual teachers tell you that the only thing that is the now, and like the only thing that you should do is to focus on the now. And in some ways that's true. It's not incorrect to do this, and it's not incorrect to say this. But one thing that I've really become aware of is that this is not always the case. This is not always the best thing to do, and this is something that I've really become aware of. And this doesn't mean that this you should not focus on the now. That's definitely true. But it comes into understanding wider, helping yourself gain a wider perspective. So to give you an example of why this is something that I'm starting to have more of a nuanced understanding on is, so imagine you have something happen and your emotions, you have strong emotions, right? Oftentimes what your mind will do is your mind will focus on those emotions and the emotions will become like everything to the mind and this kind of thing, right? It becomes everything. And so in that kind of place, what's almost needed is a wider perspective. Like, for instance, like say you make a mistake and you fail, your mind might focus on that emotion to the detriment of actually having a wider perspective on your mistakes and this kind of thing. And so the thing that's almost needed to do is to kind of look backwards and look at your life as a whole rather than just as this moment is happening. If possible, right? It's something that you have to learn how to do as a mindful thing as well. But this is kind of going a little bit a counter to this idea that you the only thing that is now, and you should always focus on the now and this kind of thing. Because it's interesting to... Because it goes back to the last episode where I was talking about, like, there are... If you find something that you agree with, there's almost this thing you almost have to learn how to do if you want to become more nuanced, which is to find things within that may not be as true, even though most of the things you that are in this you agree with, right? Doesn't mean you become argumentative. It doesn't mean that you become heartless with this viewpoint or whatever it is. It just means that you become more nuanced and balanced because you're actually able to do something that is something that most people today don't seem to really be able to do. It's really, really different. It's really interesting to see that happen as it happens. But so the third thing, I guess we're doing a thing of threes because the last episode was a thing of threes as well, has a lot to do with this idea of detachment. And the there's like a different level of this where we can go into this, the pros and cons of this, but one of the things I've really become aware of when it comes to the mindfulness practice of just becoming aware of multiple things like this, like I talked about before in this episode, is that it helps you to become aware of something without needing to become detached to it, actually. And it helps to become... And because you're not because you're aware of it, you're not detached by it, you're still not as affected by it, but you're still able to, see it without having a distance from this thing, which is in a lot of ways unreality, anyways, which is something we can go into in other episodes. But what I mean by that is that's not what's happening in real life anyways. Like oftentimes when you're engaged in doing this, like if you're taught in meditation, and it's not incorrect, it is true that we should learn how to detach more, but It has more to do, that has more to do with what I talked about the last point about the present moment, where you get so stuck in a particular thought or emotion or whatever it is that you neglect like the wider experience of your life and this kind of thing, right? It has more to do with that, and it has more to do with including all of those things than it does with actually getting rid of those things. It's almost like it's kind of more like if you would have a, let's say you have two extremes and a third, which is the middle. The mind might focus on one of those extremes, or it might focus more on the middle, right? So the one extreme was A, the B, and the middle is B, and the other extreme is C. And so the mind might focus on C and be angry at A or B, or it might focus on B and be like, why is A and C so strange, right? Whatever it is, right? While non-attachment, which is not detachment, but non-attachment, is more like noticing the values and usefulnesses of A and C, but also noticing the problems with B, but also noticing the, it's about noticing both sides, right? Noticing the goods and the bads, so to speak, while being nuanced while doing this, without becoming dogmatic, this kind of thing, right? This is helping you to become more detached, or I'd say I'd use the word non-attached in real life, as life is actually happening around you. And this is kind of like this is kind of, I guess, more of a journal episode. This is something that I've just really been working with. When noticing mindfulness and how it works in most cases, when you're not actively trying to distance yourself from this through pure observation, this kind of thing. So, anyways, it is interesting to consider these things as we go deeper into understanding mindfulness and different things like this. And I guess it's not completely unrelated to topic of balancing yourself and this kind of thing. And eventually I might actually do like a practice-based episode on meditation on this kind of new form that we're talking about. But it is something that you have to almost experiment with first, because you have to learn how to do this. Because if I were to give you like a guided thing on how to do this and what this looks like and things like this, it would be easy for you to just focus on like my voice and what I would be saying, rather than actually focusing on the environment and things like this. So it's something that you have to learn how to do on your own first before I do this. This is why I started with this one first, rather than actually doing like a practice-based episode. So, anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll talk to you next one.